At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Mile High Huddle podcast with your football priests, Chad Jensen and Zach Kelberman. Remember, Broncos country is not a geographic location. It's a state of being.
Welcome in, everybody. It is the Mile High Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Chad Jensen. With me, my fellow football priest and partner in crime. You know him, you love him. Zach Kelberman. Zach, hope you're doing well. Tonight we have a great conversation. We're going to be talking with Mike Kliss about his awesome new Elway book. How you doing tonight, though, brother?
I'm doing really well. I'm looking forward to speaking with Mike, of course, but I'm feeling good after the Broncos victory yesterday. I see a lot of nitpicking on Twitter about how it could have been better, or Bo Nix could have passed for this, or they could have done that, but it was still a resounding victory. I went back and watched the tape again, and there's, again, a few things they could have done more perfectly, but overall, Chad, got to beat who's in front of you, and they took care of business yesterday.
Indeed they did. All right, guys, we're gonna bring on Mike, who's given us some time. Everybody knows Mike Kliss, Nine News Insider, and the author of this very compelling book, The Elway Years, that just came out. Mike Kliss, thanks for joining us. Hope you're doing well. How are you?
I am doing well. Zach, I appreciated your comments on the game yesterday. It was interesting. I think most people were satisfied till Sean Payton got up and talked to everybody. and he let everybody know he wasn't satisfied. He didn't. I think what really perturbed him was the Sutton fumble. Kind of sent him off the edge. And then J.C. Horn came up to him. You might have saw some video of that was taken by Brian Olson, our Nine News cameraman, that, you know, J.C. Horn accused him of running up the score and with a couple of those trick plays. So it got really interesting, and Sean wasn't very happy. And from what I understand, he communicated that to the team in the post-game speech and, again, to us and the media. And, you know, I tell you, I've been part of losing locker rooms that were more fun than that winning locker room yesterday. But he's setting a new culture, and he's got two big games coming up. So maybe that's what it was all about. You got to play better to beat the big boys.
That's right. A lot of things went right, but for against the Panthers yesterday, Bear, there's just those couple little things that, you know, you wish you could have back. And especially from a veteran like that, Mike, on the goal line, Cortland Sutton, yeah, you got a couple of two, three, whatever it was, three-score lead at the time. Yeah. But still, you expect your leaders and your stars to not be the one coughing it up on the goal line.
Yeah, and, you know, he fumbled a couple times last year. He's fumbled here and there throughout his career. But, you know, I do think it's human nature sometimes. You're up 28-7. You know, there's there's 2:20 left to go, and you do kind of subconsciously, you know, the game's in the bag, and you kind of play like it. And if you get a little careless, that can, you know, what happened can happen.
Yeah, that's right. Did you expect anything less, Tyler, that the great Mike Kliss would be stepping into the chat tonight, rocking anything other than a punk rock Green Day shirt? Yes, he is an absolute legend. People admiring your fashion statements there, Mike.
Yeah, you know, my wife was I just threw it on. my wife was working the Green Day concert at Coors Field, and she picked this up for me. Two of my favorite songs of all time. One I play on the jukebox all the time if I'm bellying up somewhere is Holiday. I love the song Holiday, the way it rocks. And then Good Riddance, you know, like so many others, you can play that at my when I pass. That'll be my song at my life celebration.
You know, what's funny about that, not to derail the conversation, but, you know, they were celebrating this tour was all about celebrating that album Dookie, right, that made him a big famous pop sensation. That yeah. song ended up being on a couple albums down the road, but it was actually supposed to be on Dookie, and the label made a decision not to use it because it was too clean. It was too acoustic for whatever it's worth. So interesting how that works. But Mike, we got to talk real quick. I'm sure everybody wants to pick your brain about the current events of the Broncos, and we most certainly do. But John Elway, the Elway years, this book by you, Mike Kliss, first of all, what is it? Is it your ninth Broncos book?
It's my eighth. It's my eighth Broncos related book.
Right.
I had two Tebow books. What was interesting about the Tebow books is, you know, it was that magical 2011 season. By the time the books came out, he was traded to the Jets. So it went from the printing press to the discount bin. Had some bad luck there. But I did one with Lauren Landau when he trained the team during the lockout of 2011. Teamed with Woody Page in 2013. Then I've done some series book, 25 Greatest Moments in History, the 50 Greatest Bronco book, which is, I was really proud of that project where I really did life stories, basically, of the 50 Greatest Broncos. And then Bill Ames of Triumph, we had been trying to get together on a book project for several years and finally hooked up. There you go, Triumph. And we finally hooked up, and he had the idea that in light of the Broncos not doing so well the last 6 or 7 years, to kind of relive the 97-98 Super Bowl years with an emphasis on Elway. And that was kind of the theme. And I don't know if it might have become Elway with an emphasis on 97-98.
Yeah.
We kind of merged those two topics and came out with this book and sat down with John. Mike Shanahan, I sat down with two or three times on the book. And I think two or three times at his restaurant and two or three times on the phone. If you remember, those 97-98 years were more about the mastermind, Mike Shanahan, putting Elway over the top because Elway had never won the big one. Or at least the Broncos did. He got him there. He got credit for getting him there single-handedly almost three times.
Yeah.
But then they got destroyed in the big game. And Shanahan put him over the top with the running game and TD. But, so we just went forward with that. I talked to – I went back to when he started with the Broncos and talked to a lot of the Orange Crushers, Tom Jackson, Steve Foley, Barney Chavis, Steve Watson was around when Elway broke in and was expecting those guys, you know, with the Orange Crushers were very good by themselves. And, they broke through many doors for the Broncos through their defense. And then Elway comes along and he's just this phenom and he's getting all this attention. And, you know, that was the Elway watch. And I wondered if, the Gratishars and them were jealous that Elway came in and kind of stole all the attention. And I got none of that. You know, as Tom Jackson said, I got none of that. They wanted to win a Super Bowl and they thought when they drafted Elway, they would get there. It took a little longer than expected, but Elway did bring a couple Super Bowls to the Broncos. And in fact, the other thing about this book, we wanted to emphasize, you know, he was the most influential and had the greatest impact of any person on Broncos history. I think that's a, you know, foregone conclusion. He's been part of 7 of their 8 Super Bowls, either as a player or GM.
Yeah.
That's quite the track record.
It is. It is. Zach, go ahead.
Yeah, Mike, something I really wanted to ask you, it might be micro-specific to me because we're in the business of the written word. There hasn't been much that you haven't written about when it comes to Elway and the Broncos over the years. I've read a ton of your work. I respect the hell out of it. As a writer, what was the most rewarding part of the book, chronicling what chapter of Elway's legacy in Denver?
You know, I just enjoyed rehashing so much of it. One thing that I got out of the book that, was kind of out there, but not really, officially out there reported was, you know, the years with the years he had with Dan Reeves when things exploded. Mm-hmm. You might remember, I think it was 1991, 1992, somewhere in there, Dick Connor wrote a column on Elway, and Elway just unloaded on Dan Reeves, really criticized him for not letting him, not opening up the offense. And so Dan Reeves called Mike Shanahan into his office and threw the paper down on his desk and said, what is this doing in the paper? And Shanahan said, what are you yelling at me for? John said it. And so Shanahan was tired of being the go-between between those. Dan didn't talk to John. John didn't talk to Dan. They both kind of talked to Shanahan. He was the intermediary between the two. And so Shanahan says, I'm tired of this. I'm bringing you together. And John brought, Shanahan brought John into Dan Reeves' office. And I think Elway might have even said, man, I hate you. And he just, a lot of ill will came out in that meeting. It did not go well. And then about a year later, it was after that season that they had the blow up. Elway found out from Ernest Biner at a blackjack table in Lake Tahoe that Reeves was trading Elway to Washington. And I think, I don't know if Tommy Maddox was drafted that year or he was just about to be drafted by the Broncos. But Ernest Biner at the blackjack table told Elway, man, I thought we had you. Ernest Biner by then was not the Cleveland Browns running back, but a Washington then Redskins running back coach. And he told Elway at the blackjack table, I thought we had you. And Elway said, what are you talking about? I thought we had you in a trade. It was all done. Everything was done. And Pat Olin nixed it before it could go through. And then when Elway got hurt and Tommy Maddox went in and went 0-4 and didn't play well, that's when Pat Bowlen realized that Elway's the guy he needed to keep, not Dan Reeves. And and so Dan left, and Wade Phillips was the go-between. The timing wasn't right, and luckily for the Broncos, because Shanahan had 2 years in the Bill Walsh system under George Seifert with the 49ers.
Yes.
He learned so much about bringing all staffers, all employees together to work for one common cause. It's just not football people. It's everyone. And he thought that was instrumental. He brought that to the Denver Broncos. And, you know, they had tremendous success. Year one was 8-8, kind of built the culture. And really the shame there is should have been a three-peat. And with 96, some of the players like TD think they wouldn't have won the last two had they won in 96. You know, they needed that to stay hungry. That failure in 96 against Jacksonville to stay hungry and win the next two. Others think the heck with that, they would have won three if they wouldn't have stubbed their toe. So that was something revealing right there.
We have a super chat coming in from one of our great community members, Dale D-Dub. This fellow lives, Mike, just so you know, this guy's checking in all the way from Hawaii with a very generous super chat. And he says, Mike, thanks for sharing your time. I'm with Peyton. If you're going to expect yourself to be great, you can't be happy when the whole team works hard to execute a play and one person decides not to hold onto the ball. Receiver miscues, 14-point turn, in my opinion. So, Mike, I do have one more question for you on the subject of your book, but just for a moment here, segue to current events. This is Dale checking in on the subject of why perhaps Peyton, once again, was as dissatisfied with a 14-point win as he was.
Yeah, he wanted to win 35-7, and they won 28-14. A win is a win is a win, but he didn't want any more fumbles going into Baltimore, I think was really what really irked him were the fumbles, the turnovers. And I was talking to Adam Trautman after the game, really the most of the locker room had cleared out, And Adam just says, Sean Payton, his whole career is, you know, going back to when he had him in New Orleans, turnovers are the biggest thing to him. Yeah. And he harps on it. He preaches it. And like he was, you know, Sean Payton was kind of saying in the post-game locker room, like, you know, am I not getting through to you guys? We just talked all week about you can't turn the ball over and you fumble twice. What's going on? Mm. What do we got to do? And so that it just pushed a button. It might not have been the most rational and button. Some of that, if you think about it, it's irrational to get that upset with a 2-touchdown victory. But, you know, he's just wired different. And we saw last year after that Green Bay win, he drove around the sushi parking lot miserable. Even though the team won and
right,
it was only their second win of the year. They were 2-5. He was thinking about benching Russ then, by the way. But you know, sometimes after wins is when he's the most miserable.
I guess it kind of shows you the maniacal standard and the expectations just always being so high. And in his defense, all 14 of the Panthers' points came off those 2 turnovers. But Stu McPeak, another one of our great community members, just giving a message to you here, Mike, to say good to see you and thank you for making time for the show. So thank you, Stu. And I'm sure Mike appreciates it. But Mike, real quick, because I know we only have you for a limited time, I want to tell you as a little something of a Bronco historian myself and a book nerd. I mean, I host a show, or I have in recent times anyway, for the hardest core of our community called Broncos Book Club, where we all read a Broncos book and then I get on and I talk about it. We all talk about it together as a piece of content, okay, as a show. It's been on ice for a little while, but I'm thinking about bringing it back. And I learned something for the first time. I didn't know this. I mean, a lot of this stuff, it's a fun read. A lot of this stuff, as I'm reading your book, historical, great interest. But Shanahan, I didn't know this, wanted Elway, when he retired, to come and be the GM. I didn't know that. And as someone who, of course, covered all 10 years of Elway's GM regime for the Broncos, I found that to be quite interesting how that kind of worked out.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, there's various stories on what happened there, on why he didn't wind up GM at the time. There was a little friction there between John and Mike because I don't know if Elway thought that, Mike was ready to move on to Brian Griese and prove he could win without Elway and with the running game. There was Elway got hurt that last year, that 98 with the hamstring. Yeah. He didn't think Mike protected him. In a couple of the games, he talked about calling a rollout after he just came back from a hamstring, and he did it at, you know, a rollout pass, and he did it again. He popped the hammy again. Mm. It just got a little tense there between the two. And I think John wanted to get away for just a little bit, and then the timing wasn't right. You know, Pat Bowlen, the timing wasn't right. And, I don't know. Some of that, I wonder, is a revisionist history. But, yes,
right.
He did want – because John was in the draft rooms a couple years when Mike – after he was done playing – he sat in the draft rooms and, the salary cap, Mike said he would have taught him the salary cap because he's a smart guy. And John did figure out the salary cap 1 year after he became the GM through Brian Zanders and Mike Sullivan and those guys. So he figured out the salary cap. But John also, he went to the Arena League to kind of break in. And I know a lot of people didn't take the Arena League seriously, but it was a competitive deal. And it was kind of like minor league training ground for Elway, putting that team together. He wound up with a winning team. So I think all in all, he did it the right way. Elway, when he finally was ready to become the GM and Pat Bowlen was ready to make him the GM, had five unprecedented years. I mean, no one had more success than Elway did through 5 years as GM. And then those last 5 years, you know, that's for another show. Yeah. What happened there? I think it all started with Gary Kubiak getting sick and stepping away and Paxton Lynch not being the right draft pick. That's what kind of sent this franchise careening in the wrong direction after a 44 run of competitive success. So, but yeah, it could have happened. There was all kinds of weird stuff. You know, there was also the thing then where Kaiser was trying to took Elway's 10% piece of the ownership to court. So a lot of things with Elway were tied up in court during that time too. So there was a lot going on that kind of prevented John from making that segue transition right away from player to front office.
One last message from Dale. And I love the Elway sharing. Sorry for interrupting. Always been amazed. Elway's career was without an ACL and one knee. He was a generational talent for sure. I believe he could play and excel in any era. Really believe that. Agreed, my friend. And thank you, Dale. Appreciate the support. But, Mike, we've had you for a good time here. I've had a blast. I could keep talking to you about this subject matter, and I know everybody else for an hour. But Zach, is there anything, a last word or anything you might have for Mike before we wish him well and all? We're going to push out and tell everybody how to find the book.
Yeah, I just have two quick questions for you, Mike. I know you have to go, or I know your time is limited. Number one about your book, one about current events. Is there anyone that you didn't talk to still living that you wish you could have talked to for the book?
The Elway book?
Yeah.
I tried to get a hold of Gary Zimmerman, and I got a hold of Gary for the 50 greatest books. But Gary, as you know, is a little reticent. I couldn't track. I had his number. I left him messages, and I couldn't quite track him down. So Gary Zimmerman, I know Zim and Elway are tight. I talked to Schlereth. Tom Nalen, I didn't try. I just knew he wasn't going to. Available for this. Gary Kubiak was an invaluable resource for this book. You know, the one thing about Kubiak and Carl Mecklenburg, I also talked to. You know, Meck made a great point about the Dan Reeves. Just want to say this. They were both the same. They were both too much the same. They were both stubborn, highly competitive. And Mecklenburg said for all of John's dislike of Reeves kind of reining him back, and he did, you know, the Warren Moons and the Dan Marinos weren't going to the Super Bowls then. Right. You had to run the ball to get to the Super Bowl. Washington Redskins won Super Bowls. New York Giants won Super Bowls. You know, the NFC was a bigger, tougher, physical, and the Broncos were the more physical team in the AFC during all those years. They just weren't physical enough come Super Bowl time. The 49ers, when they were winning Super Bowls, they ran the ball surprisingly much more than people think. Montana played off the run. And for his excellence. So just wanted to add that for Dan Reeves. I think Dan Reeves should be in the Hall of Fame too.
Agreed.
For you know, Marv Levy's in with four losses, all with one team. Bud Grant's in with four Super Bowl losses, all with one team. Reeves is in with four losses with two teams, which I think is much harder. Plus, he turned around the Giants for a while. So
yeah.
Plus, he threw a 50-yard halfback touchdown pass to Lance Renzel in the Ice Bowl, and that should put him over the top. So, I watched that game, by the way. That's how old I am. Watched it on TV as a Packer fan. But anyway, guys, thanks for having me. Chad, you got the book there. It's on Amazon, and I talked to so many people, so many great Broncos. For that book on Elway, and sat down with John at the Perfect Landing at Centennial Airport. I don't know if you guys ever been there. I recommend it, by the way. And we had a nice chat there and had, and I've talked to John, interviewed John. You know, I covered every minute of his GM-ship. and a year or two kind of part-time while he was a player. So John was very generous with his time for this project and shared some good stories, and I think people will really enjoy it.
Well, I can tell you we've enjoyed it. So thank you, Mike. We're going to drop the link, guys. I was just telling Mike, our community, when we say smash the link, they smash the link. And so we're going to drop Mike's new book, The Elway Years, on Amazon. Easy to find. Everybody uses Amazon all day long, every single day. So hit that link. Let's blow it up for him. Mike, thank you for your time. It was a pleasure talking with you. And hopefully, maybe in the not too distant future, we can have you back on the show.
Right on. Enjoyed it, guys. Thank you again.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you. All right, there he goes. Legendary reporter covering the Denver Broncos, an insider, and of course, a very, as he illustrated, a prolific author covering the Denver Broncos. Also, Zach, in the in not just in newspapers and blogs, but in actual full books. It's beautiful. Sam Bam jumped in early. Lots to kind of reminisce on, ruminate over in some of Mike's remarks there about Elway and whatnot. But let's catch up on a few things, like Sam Bam saying, evening, guys. Good to see the Broncos taking care of business yesterday. Next two are going to be tough at Baltimore and KC, but I think the Broncos can at least split the two tough road games. Go Broncos. Thank you, brother, and thank you for your patience. I know you've been sitting on that super chat for a minute, my friend. So thank you for that. And yeah, it's going to be tough, but Mike McGlinchey was talking about this today. He's like, look, this is what we wanted. These are games that are going to matter. These are AFC relevant, Zach, in terms of the playoff picture and what's going to happen in January. These next two games are going to be big for that. We wanted to be a team that played in games that mattered. These games matter. So they got to go in there and hold their own. And yeah, if you can split, great, but try and win them both. Let's go 2-0.
Yeah, he also talked about, McGlinchey did, that you're starting to see Bo Nix grow up and the confidence is starting to come out. And with the game he had yesterday, it's obviously true. But what Sean Payton talked about too, Chad, is you're going to face tougher teams than that. The Panthers weren't very good, and you have a tough test, two of them, coming up. You can't drop passes. You can't commit fumbles. You have to play a perfect four quarters to beat those teams. So I kind of generally lean to that message.
The Papa Bear, also, thank you for hanging tough, my friend, while we were having our fun conversation with Mike, saying, good evening, Broncos country, hashtag 10-7 plus. Let's go, Bo. I love it. Thank you, brother. Eric Flynn jumping in early with some stars. Great to see you guys. Appreciate you, Eric. You're the man. The Ronk as well, saying, good evening, Chad and Zach, on the Mile High Huddle podcast. Go, Bo Broncos. Love it. Love it. Taylor Christensen, what's up, brother? Says, hey, is Cooper Kupp a possible trade we could do? Hashtag MHH for life. So, Zach, Cooper Kupp is another one of those, we'll call him a little bit longer in the tooth, veteran receivers to whom, you know, the rumor mill has, he's been attached in the rumor mill as a potential trade piece. Do you like him as a Broncos target?
Not really. I mean, I think he's 31, or going on 31. He has a massive salary cap number. He's coming off injury. I think, unfortunately, he already peaked with that 2021 legendary record-setting season that he had. I'd rather the Broncos go younger or go cheaper if they're looking to acquire a receiver.
Yeah,
which I wanted to ask Mike about, by the way. I never got to ask him if the Broncos were going to go after a receiver.
What Zach is referencing, if you guys don't know, a record 145 receptions by Kupp in 21 for just about 2,000 yards, 1,947 yards, 16 touchdowns. So that was a big year for him. But, Zach, since then, let me just go ahead and kind of show you how Father Time remains undefeated. 2022, 800 yards, 9 games. 2023, 700 yards in 12 games. And then this season, of course, only 198, but he's only appeared in 3. So there you have it. Adam Kern in the hizzy. What's up, Adam? Good to see you. Adam's been with us a long time, but I don't recall seeing a super chat from my dog here for a minute. So welcome back,
Thank you, my friend.
Man. He says, I love the way Peyton's wired. He's hungry for excellence, damn near perfect football. That's why he wins and gets the best out of his players. That's what one of the points I was trying to elucidate when Mike was with us is just that really high standard. It's kind of like, you know, it's the job of a father. There's moments when you're, or in the, don't worry, I'm going to weave it back. But, you know, there's times, for example, as a father, Zach, my son will bring home, you know, a paper and he'll get, I got an A or I got an A minus. And I'll say, that's great. But why wasn't it an A plus? You see what I mean? Like, you know, and that's just a small little analogy. But in the case of a much grander pursuit amidst a collective, Zach, of players and coaches, that kind of standard and hunger and taking exception, those things have to be very pure, very clear, and hotly pursued, or else, man, 53 players plus 16 practice squatters, all those coaches, man, it could go every which way but loose. So he's got to crack that whip, and he's got to maintain that even at 5 wins, not good enough. Let's go.
I'll reference what we were saying about Nathaniel Hackett when he was the coach, is that when you're trying to be everyone's best friend, you're not going to command the respect that you should as a head coach. You kind of have to be a little ornery, have to have a little a-hole streak in you. And I actually like what Sean Payton said, that the Panthers weren't very good. And also what he said to J.C. Horn, like, play better. If you don't want the Broncos to score, then stop them from scoring. You didn't do your job. I want a coach to have that type of, I guess, for lack of a better word, alpha mentality, because we haven't had that in Denver recently.
Very true. We have the Duchess jumping in, Michaela Parker, who we love so much, to say, who misses Tim Patrick? He did not drop passes. Franklin. Wish we could get him back. Yeah, but here's what's really ironic is, you know, I think I said this yesterday, Zach, during the gut reaction, that, you know, Vele is doing his best to honor the man who last wore the 81. But it wasn't actually Tim Patrick who last rocked the 81, dude. They gave it to Smith. What was his name?
Tremont.
No. It's like that. I'm going to brain fart it. Traquan or something like that. It was a receiver they brought on, practice squad guy, promoted him one game and then cut him at the end of the season. And he played on in one game. He wore 81. So technically that's – who cares? That's nerd stuff. But the point being here, who misses Patrick? I miss him, but Devon Vele is showing some clutch catching. I mean, two of his three receptions – I think it was three yesterday, Zach – were – I mean, sensational, not easy, like going low, tiptoeing on the sideline with the cat draped over you, both of which, those two anyway, moved the chains.
Yeah, you can kind of fix catching. That's why they have jugs machines. You can't fix, or there's no machine for speed or separation, you know, game-breaking ability. I still think the Broncos lack that, Michaela. And I'm of the mind, like Chase, is like, we have to kind of move past Tim Patrick, and they should focus on getting just an athletic dual threat tight end, or just a pure route running fiend with dynamism at the receiver position. Because you have the big body types. Vele, like Chad was talking about, if he could just squeeze the ball like he has been doing, you have your Tim Patrick replacement. You have Cortland Sutton, despite the fumbles. You need another one in there, which we thought Marvin Mims or Troy Franklin was going to be, with game-breaking speed.
I love this from Sam Bam. I wish I would have seen it when Mike was with us, but J.C. Horn was a basket case when they lost yesterday. Yeah, so J.C. Horn, in case you missed it, guys, was upset with the Broncos as the game was immediately ending. So at the gun, you go to the midfield, do the handshakes, get your pictures, whatever's going to happen. And he's John, taking exception to what he said was disrespect in how the Broncos were trying to run up the score. And he wasn't necessarily addressing Sean Payton, but as he's yammering at the Broncos, it kind of crosses it. Payton kind of crosses into that direction that he's hollering. And so Payton's like, hey, yo, what? You know, I raised your dad from a pup, basically, you know, not really, but he coached his father, Joe Horn, in New Orleans. And Joe was, you know, veteran by the time Sean got there. So I guess raising from a pup isn't exactly fair, but he knows his father. So it could have maybe, Zach, been a little bit uglier if Sean Payton didn't go, you know what, that's my buddy's kid. I'm going to go ahead and go shake the other coach's hand. But one thing I meant to ask Mike, in fact, Zach, that I forgot to, not forgot to, but there were other things that took precedence, but I wish we'd had more time, was my theory. How much of Sean Payton keeping that pedal to the metal yesterday do you think, Mike, had to do with Dave Canales, you know, not punting it away on fourth and two after Sean Payton declined that 10-yard holding penalty on third down?
Yeah, I mean, there's that theory. There's the long-standing rivalry with the NFC South. I can't talk tonight, because going back to his time with the Saints, or he's just taking out his frustrations on an inferior opponent, like we talked about, the bully shoving the JV student in the locker. It's what just Sean wanted to prove a point, and he did, but he has to be on his P's and Q's with Baltimore and KC coming up.
Oh man, guys, if you hear me sniffling and stuff, I apologize. I'm dealing with a little bit of under the weather, so bear with me. George Fox, I'm trying to mute the mic when I have to do the sniffles, but sometimes I forget. George, good to see you, buddy. Great pod tonight, guys, as always. Thanks for all you do for us, guys, outside of Colorado. Bronx for life, MHH for life. Hit the thumbs up, guys. And that's right. Smash the like button. We need it, you guys. You have no idea. You know, we have our little spiel that we read at the end of the show that Zach and I both read a billion times on this podcast where we're like, hey, help us find the new like-minded Broncos fans just like you by liking this video. Well, there's a reason why we say that, and that is that the more you like the video, the more YouTube and Facebook and X, Twitter, they go, oh, this is important. This is vital. People are engaging with it. So then what happens is algorithmically, they then present this content to other people who aren't following it. So non-followers of us on Facebook, non-subscribers on YouTube and Twitter and so forth, and go, hey, if it's getting lots of likes and comments and engagement, let's go ahead and show it to other people. This must be high quality. And that's one of the ways these algo bots deduces it. So please smash the like button. It helps us so much and it allows us to continue to grow. Okay, Zach, before we get too much further here, I want to grab this from Jeremy Sean real quick, though. He says Sean wanted positive results for the offense because true confidence comes from actually being successful, which is true. It's absolutely true. And, you know, that confidence that you see, I mean, that's why it sucked that Bo Nix, for example, Zach didn't quite get to 300 yards passing yesterday, but, you know, a couple of those catches had they been more clutch, he would have easily been over 300. But the confidence you get from being in an NFL game, throwing, you know, however many touchdowns, however many rushing touch, the whole nine yards against an NFL team, dude, your confidence rises. Now, you need that blown up confidence because that inflated confidence. And I'm not saying it's artificially inflated, Zach, but you need that growth in confidence to walk into the teeth of a couple of gnarly opponents, the likes of which you have yet to face this as a young pro like Baltimore and Kansas City.
And I think growth spurs confidence. Confidence comes with development. When you progress forward naturally, you get confident as opposed to regressing. And that's why we talked about Bo Nix facing tougher defenses to start the season. It kind of callous him up a little bit and makes the lesser defenses easier to manage. And we saw it come out against the Raiders, against the Saints, and against Carolina.
Okay, Jeremy. Guys, lots more to get to. In fact, I'm not going to keep D-Dub waiting. The ad partners are just going to have to be patient with us tonight. You know what? D-Dub is in the house for the third time.
Thank you, Dale.
Love you, brother. Dale's is one of the members of our community that is very near and dear to my heart. I love this man. Dale, hope you're doing well, big dog. He says, run down the Ravens matchup. Any bold predictions? We're 9.5-point underdogs, which to me, Zach, I'm sorry, frankly, that's a ridiculous – who knows, maybe in the ridiculous parody and anything's possible landscape of the NFL, this will become a freezing cold take. But in what world are the Ravens, who just got defeated by Jameis Winston and the Browns? I know they're at home, but the Broncos are not, by the way, 5-3, not 3-5. By the way, top three defense, young quarterback that's on the rise, a first-round pick, 9.5-point dogs. That's the kind of thing, Zach, that if I'm Sean Payton, after I calm down from my castigation of fumbleitis that everybody had yesterday, I'm focusing on, look at this, boys. We're 5-3. What's Baltimore? I don't have it right in front of me. What are they right now?
5-3.
Okay. They're putting us 9.5-point dogs against an equally 5-3 opponent like this. That's a great, that's a great disrespect to us. But we are going to win, he says. Henry may want run well, but I believe we can keep up with their offense. Bo's tape shows his feet are settling down. That's one of the keys, Zach, to the passing offense continuing to show growth. Bo Nix's feet, technical discipline.
Yeah, like you said, take away 3 points from that because Baltimore is at home. So the Broncos are 6.5-point underdogs, and they have maybe the NFL MVP, the Ravens, and Lamar Jackson. Derrick Henry's having a career renaissance there. I thought he was washed, obviously not. It's going to be tough. It's a tough place to win, tough place to play. My bold prediction for this game is if the Broncos lose, stay tuned to see if I'm actually predicting a win or a loss, that it's not going to be by 9.5 points. If they lose this game, it's going to be a hard-fought victory that comes down to the wire. They're going to give Baltimore more than Baltimore's expecting to handle. That's my bold prediction.
All right, guys, before we get back into the conversation, lots more to get to real fast. We got to remind you that this episode is brought to you in part by Manscaped, the global leader in men's lifestyle and grooming. Every man knows the unbeatable feeling of a fresh barbershop shave. Now, what if I told you that you no longer have to wait weeks or even months between appointments to experience that beautiful feeling and that beautiful look?
Introducing Manscaped's newest innovation, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver, the game-changing tool that brings the luxury of a professional shave right into your home. Whether you're after that daily, silky, smooth finish or prefer to maintain a rugged 5 o'clock shadow, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver is your go-to for precision and style every time. So head on over to manscaped.com and join the over 11 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by using code HUDDLE for 20% off and free shipping.
That's right. That's right, gang. Get that Chairman Pro today. Experience a shave that is as smooth as you deserve. Get that 20% off and free shipping using our code HUDDLE, manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with our code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. All right, let me see here. Yes, okay, just catching up on what Mr. Producer had to say. Okay, taking another peek into the chat here. Colby, the Triple C. What's up, bro? As long as the defense lines and no turnovers, we have a good chance. I think, honestly, man, why is Sean Payton so pissed off about turnovers? I mean, you saw it. You were looking at Zach perhaps a 35 to 42-point shutout yesterday. Both fumbles resulted in the Panthers 2 touchdowns. So you remove those fumbles, boy, it's an historic beatdown. You know, it's a historic, not just a zero burger you're serving up, Zach, but at a 35 or 42-point clip, dude, that would be historic for a home game for the Broncos.
See, I just want to know why, though. We've talked about it today, talked about it last night. Even Mike Kliss mentioned it, that he wanted to win 35-7. Instead, he won 28-14. Why was he so dead set on blowing out the Panthers? The psychology behind that I'm kind of interested in, though. We're not going to get an answer, it looks like.
But, you know, going back to, like, what D-Dub was saying, let's talk about the Ravens, is we're going to get more into it on our next show, Zach and I, Thursday night. We'll do the head-to-head and all that. But against a quality opponent like this, it's not necessarily what people want to hear. You know, they want you to get all creative and come up with these unique sizzling, you know, keys to victory. But John Harbaugh teams, look, you want to win, you can't turn the ball over. You got to be the more physical team up front. You got to run the ball, and you got to be good in the critical situations, third down, red zone, all that stuff. If you are, you know, I just listed off 4 different areas. If you're the better team in 3 of those 4, you're probably going to win. But if the one that you're not better is the turnover differential, then you're probably going to lose on the road to a team like the Baltimore Ravens, which Lamar is going to be coming off that loss hot. He's going to try and, you know, but hey, the good news here, guys, is this is not a pushover Broncos team. Like, even if, Zach, even if, and I'm not predicting this or anything, but even if this was a Broncos offense that was still more reminiscent of the first 2 weeks Broncos offense, this defense isn't going to just lay down for Lamar Jackson because they're in Baltimore. No, this is going to be a rock fight, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, you mentioned the 2 points I was going to make. To beat a team like this on the road, you can't commit any turnovers. You have to win the turnover differential. And also, the Ravens are going to be pissed off coming off that loss, so you're going to get their best. But going back to the previous comment that we flashed, I don't know what I'm trying to understand the point they were trying to make, but as long as the Broncos defense plays up to par, they can hang with anyone. And if the Broncos offense can look like what they did yesterday, especially with the passing game, they can go toe-to-toe with Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. That's not a bold take. That's not being a homer. That's just from what we've seen. It's the truth.
Like Scott says here, the bettors, that's the B-E-T-T-O-R-S, right, those who wager, are saying Denver is the biggest underdog in any game next week. That doesn't feel right. I would agree, Mr. Producer. That doesn't feel right. Time will tell. Time will tell. Brandon Williams, thank you, Scott. You guys might have covered it already, but did you all see where Bo ranked in the top 12 in a lot of categories for the month of September? Zach, do you have an answer here for Brandon?
I'm sure it's not good, but in October, he's tied for first or first in every major category, look like. I saw the tweet that CBS Sports put out that the Broncos shared on their social media. He's stepping it up. He's getting better as the season goes on. You don't want your rookie quarterback to peak in September. You want him to start peaking when the games start counting. Seriously, if the playoff picture takes hold, when the weather starts turning, when things start getting real, that's when you want the level of play to start increasing. And that's what we've seen with Bo Nix.
Here, I'll give you guys a little scratch and sniff. So here's what Zach was referencing, and maybe this is what Brandon was talking about, but this little stat meme that the Broncos retweeted basically from NFL and CBS, Bo Nix, rookie QB, ranks in October when it comes to passing touchdowns in the month of October, 7th touchdowns, that ranks first. Passing touchdowns to interceptions, 7-1, that's first. Passing yards, 870 in the month of October, that's first. And this is, of course, amongst rookie quarterbacks, okay? Rushing touchdowns, 2, that's first. Wins, 3, tied for first. So, you know, Zach, the ultimate measuring stick for Bo Nix is not how is he looking amongst the other rookie quarterbacks. This we know. But it is encouraging and gratifying to see him being first because amongst all these guys, because it just reminds me of the anecdote we got from Sean Payton in the immediate aftermath of the draft, where he talked about how, you know, we heard all the stuff about him being a system quarterback, blah, blah, blah. So we removed all the gimmies and we scouted him and ran his metrics based on what we saw minus the gimme throws. And he was first in all the key metrics that mattered. And that included Zach over quarterbacks like Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, who've been having quite a rookie campaign so far, especially the latter there.
To your point, what jumped out to me about the Bo Nix quotes that we got from the team was the calls that he gives Sean Payton during the week, the plays that he likes, the plays that he doesn't like, and they kind of filter through them leading up to game day. And it seems like the leash for Bo Nix is getting longer, the confidence is growing, and also the trust from Sean Payton to Bo Nix is getting wider as well. It's coming out in the play, coming out in the wash, as you like to say.
Yes. I got that one from my buddy Pat Burns many years ago, how it comes out in the wash. The 33rd team posted something. He says, Brandon, hold on. I'm just seeing if I can find it. Tell you what, Brandon, if you can find it. Oh, wait, here it is. But it's also, this is also, here, let me go back to the share screen. This is also Colby, hang tight, bro. Yeah, it might be a good time to place a wager. We can't say that. We don't offer betting advice on this show, but if you're a believer in the Broncos, that would definitely make sense, eh? But listen to this. From the 33rd team, Bo Nix's stats in October may surprise you. Completion percentage. Now, this is not just relative to rookies. This is just NFL, okay? Completion percentage of 66.7, tied for 12th. Passing yards, tied for 12th. Touchdowns scored, so that includes rushing. Tied for 4th. Touchdown to interception ratio, tied for 8th. Passer rating, 10th. And then, you know, one of their metrics, advanced metrics, 8-10. So with the exception of two of these, which is completion percentage and passing yardage, again, it's still kind of low volume passing attack. Don't look now, guys, but what you see before you, that's a top 10 quarterback. What?
All the crow that's being eaten now, Chad, is pretty insane on social media too about Bo Nix.
I love it. I love to see it. Clay Wise, in the hizzy. Good to see you, bro. Thank you for throwing down on Facebook tonight. It says, got to watch the game 5 rows up from the southeast corner of the end zone where all the scoring was happening. Love seeing Nix continue to improve. Best rookie quarterback in October, Broncos for life. Yeah, that's a good spot because you get out of the sun quite early. At a 2:25 kick, if you're kind of in the eastern corner there, you get out of the sun. Southeast, you get out of the sun a little bit. I've got it backwards. It's the Western that's – so ignore me on that. But still, killer seats. Anytime you can be close to the South stands, baby, it's a good time.
And about the best rookie quarterback comment, I was reading some Bears fans' tweets yesterday after how they lost that game on the Hail Mary. And they were talking about how Caleb Williams like played like crap for three quarters and turns it on in the fourth quarter. And I'm thinking, that was where we were with Bo Nix a few weeks ago. And now we're seeing, I know it might be just Carolina, it might be the Raiders, it might be a lesser opponent, but we're seeing a more complete effort from number 10.
All right, guys, this is your two-minute warning for burning questions, supers, and all that. This is we're at 50 minutes, so we're about out of time. But Eric Flynn, jumping in with a question. With us being almost halfway through the season, that's right, eight games under the belt, what stat line do you think Nix finishes with this season? So, Zach, before we answer this, let me just set the stage exactly so we have a good reference. So, as it stands, Bo Nix has 1,530 passing yards. So hang tight with me for a second. I'm going to do some math. 1,530 divided by 8 equals times 17 equals. So he's on pace, Zach, for 3,251 yards if this exact 8 game plays out the same. So touchdowns, he's got 8 through 8 games. So, you know, he's on pace for 17 touchdowns this season, and then he's on pace for – times 17. He's on pace for about 11 picks. So do you have a – I think it'll be higher than that. I think as the season marches on, that confidence we're seeing come out, it's going to result – instead of finishing Zach with 120, 150, 160, 170 passing yards, we're going to see it more in the 200s and above consistently, pad those stats. The touchdowns are just starting. I'm telling you that right now.
Exactly. I was going to say, I think all those numbers should be a little higher in the end, only because he didn't throw for much in the first couple of weeks. He was having really low stat lines. And now that he's getting more confidence and growing as a passer, like you said, you're going to see the stats start to follow.
Phil, so good to see you, brother. Down in Tucson, you are the man. We love you. So good evening, Chad, Zach, and Deacon Scott. Watching the Cleveland game, it was clear the passing game killed the Ravens and opened up. Well, some good runs, he meant to say there. Sorry. No. I haven't watched it front to back. I watched about 10 minutes of it while it was going on yesterday, Zach. And suffice to say, it was kind of a weird, perfect storm of the Browns playing some of their best ball and the Ravens just kind of stepping on their own you-know-whats. But there are some perhaps vulnerabilities that were highlighted yesterday.
Yeah, big trap game for Baltimore. I will say that Cleveland, Nick Chubb is better probably even after the injury than anything the Broncos have in their backfield. The key to this game, like you said earlier, is to establish the run and take that Baltimore defensive pressure off of Bo Nix.
There was one I wanted to give a shout that I saw earlier. I saw the Mile High Dutchie in here, a mention, and I want to find him here, but we have so many comments tonight. So if I can't find it to click on it within the next 3 seconds, I'll just give him his shouts. But dang it, I can't find it. Either way, Albert, hope you're doing well, big dog. Good to see you in the chat tonight, my friend. We got a few messages for you guys, then we're going to dip out of here.
Another tremendous installment, as always, of the Mile High Huddle podcast. If you're not doing so, please follow us on Twitter at the MHH Pod. You can follow the main account on Twitter at Mile High Huddle, Chad at Chad and Jensen, myself at Kelberman NFL, and Scott, our producer, at Scout Kennedy. If you guys want some merch like we're rocking each and every single podcast, check out mhhmerch.com and get you some. If you haven't done so yet, please drop us a like at facebook.com/milehighhuddlepod. You can find us on Instagram at mile_high_huddle. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, make sure you're leaving your Football Priest a 5-star review for a chance to win some merch each and every single month. But if anything, y'all, please, please, please subscribe, like, and share this video and every video you see on the MHH channel. It really helps us grow and reach more Broncos fans just like you.
And here it is. There he is, Albert Knoppers. And he had a question for Mike, but we ran out of time there, buddy. So it's good to see you in the chat tonight. Give our best to the misses. The Ronk checking in to say, great show tonight, Chad and Zach, on the MHH podcast. Go Bo Broncos. And we got one last thing I got to take care of before we dip out of here, guys. And that is, I want to make sure that your big wireless provider is not taking advantage of you. Because we all know that somewhere between the store and that first month's bill, the price that the nice salesman in the store told you that you were going to be getting, it magically skyrockets. But with Mint Mobile, guess what? You never have to worry about those gotchas ever again. When Mint Mobile says $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, dadgummit, they mean it. So say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, monthly bills, and all of those heinous unexpected overages.
To get this new customer offer and your new three-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/huddle. That's mintmobile.com/huddle. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/huddle. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Guys, once again, I want to remind you to go get yourself a copy of The Elway Years by Mike Kliss, who spent some time with us at the top of the show. It's always great hearing his insight, but also, you know, his interactions with Elway and Kubiak and Shanahan and all the guys who factor into the research and whatnot that go into making and writing a book of this caliber. It's an excellent book. Let's make sure that we have such great writers and guys with deep roots like Mike has in the market, incentivizing them to continue to write books like this for us nerds out there. And if you're within the sound of my voice, you might not be a big reader, but you're a Broncos nerd. That's why you're in the chat with us right now or even listening after the fact. So let's show Mike some love. And what is it? It's probably like $20 book on Amazon. Let's smash it. We dropped the link in the live chat. All right, but you can also find it in the description of this episode, whether you're on YouTube, Facebook, just click into the description. You'll see it. Follow the link, Amazon. Let's smash it. Let's help Mike move some copies. There's hardcover options. There's Kindle options, a little something for everybody, but go check it out. And again, much love and respect to Mike, and we thank him for spending some time with us tonight. But a mile high salute, last thing here, guys, and a special shout out to the Super Chat superstars and supporters helping us keep the lights on this evening, like Eric Flynn, like The Ronk, like D-Dub going off. We love you, brother. Like Zeus McPeak in the house. Love you, bro. Taylor Christensen, Adam Kern, the Duchess, who we love, near and dear to our hearts. We love you, Michaela. George Fox, Brandon Williams, Clay Wise, Phil down in Tucson, and, of course, Dean W. Johnson, The Ronk, all the gang's all here. So much love and respect, you guys. Thank you so much. Can't wait to see you again Thursday night.
Have a great start to your week. We'll see you Thursday. Take care. And as always, go Broncos.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language? Maybe you were inspired by a recent international trip, became obsessed with a foreign film or TV show, wanted to communicate better with a loved one, or just felt like developing a new skill. With Rosetta Stone, learning a new language is easier than you thought. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Japanese, Dutch, and more. Learning is immersive and designed for long-term retention, so you fully learn to speak, listen, and even think in that language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.